Alex Bregman on the gut punch that is the potential for Roman Anthony oblique injury and some time missed by Roman Anthony. And he's having an MRI today, but the way Alex Bregman is talking about it, it's almost as if it is a foregone conclusion that they are. It's not like a tweak. Mm-hmm. It's like he's talking about the injury as if it is something that they know is going to cost him some time for a while.
I mean, the way listening to Roman Anthony himself speak about it, mm-hmm. he was basically saying, like, yeah, it's worse than anything else that he's felt this year faced this year. So, yeah. I mean, I would not expect to see him for a bit.
Yeah, and this is where, once again, we can talk to Brez about it tomorrow, but at 9, this is the depth you needed when you're relying on young players who haven't played a 162-game season. You have now Crochet, for the first time since May, consecutively pitching on 4 days rest with last night's clunker against the Guardians, and you're going to need him more now down the stretch into the playoffs, and I'm not sure you can rely on it.
Would you skip a start?
Yes. If you don't have Crochet as best as he can possibly be in October, then it doesn't matter what your record is.
Right. Yeah.
So I would give up the division and play in the wild card if it meant that Crochet was healthy, as opposed to grinding him down the stretch and then you don't know what you're getting when he goes in game one.
You brought a dude up for tonight.
Kyle Harrison.
And so, and then you've got...
I don't know about if it's for tonight, though. Bernardino is set to start tonight. He's taking over for Tolley.
Yeah, I saw him getting Wiggy's autograph.
Tolley, or I prefer, I think the best nickname, I think I have to give credit to a Jones and Keith listener because they came up with it, is Magnum P.I.G.
Slam Dunk.
But he is going to go Friday, which I love that dude. Mm-hmm. Like,
Big stash.
He is just the attitude mm-hmm. and the story about his mom, the fact that it only took him a year to get here is wild. So Curtis, you would skip a start when it comes to Crochet after last night.
The only way you have a chance is if he's at his best in October. And does anybody doubt that he won't get there if he keeps pitching on normal rest the rest of the way? I mean, there's a reason they did what they did since May. It was working. So
yeah, I would do what you were doing that works best for him to make sure he's ready to go postseason. I would say with Roman Anthony, rest him and, you know, don't rush him back. I feel like you have enough offense where if he's out, you know, for a few weeks, not a big deal, right? You have enough bats, you have enough offense. It's going to be okay. You want him to be ready to go come the postseason. You want Crochet to be ready to go and give you those innings. You want Giolito. You want Bayo. You want your three starters to be all ready to go and, you know, peak performance come postseason.
Yeah, I guess the concern would be that it's a trend where it's not just Crochet last night. It's Giolito mm-hmm. and it's Bayo on the 4 days rest. I mean, we talked about that earlier because Lou was tweeting about it or Xing about it. So, I mean,
why do they do that? Because I thought it was always every fifth day you started. So why the, where's the, now?
That's 4 days off. And what he did the last two times out, he was on normal every fifth day with 4 days in between starts.
Okay.
Prior to that, he had an extra day every start between May and August.
Okay.
Late August.
Okay.
So he was given every sixth day as opposed to every fifth day.
All right. So now the 4 days is technically what most guys
everybody,
are on.
Everybody, yep.
Okay.
You have a five-man rotation, so you have 4 days off in between.
So you're saying go back to what it was where it was basically every, you know, sixth day he was. Okay. Well, I would do that then if that's what you need to keep him to where he's at his best performance.
Okay. Well, 6:45, first pitch tonight on the Shaws and Star Market. What, Curtis?
I was asking Shyam a question about what we're doing now. Oh. Nothing to do about you or anything else.
6:45 tonight.
6:45 tonight. I am confused now about who's pitching tonight. Brennan Bernardino is listed as the pitcher this evening, and the article I read was that Kyle Harrison was going to take over for Tolley. If you look on X, some people are saying that he's pitching tonight.
Yeah, I thought they had brought him up to pitch for tonight, but we will.
Yeah.
whatever you do, don't go by what they say on ESPN.com, and I did, and Ken is still mad at me that I didn't give him credit that Skeens was going Friday instead of
I do
Saturday.
It. I go by RedSox.com.
All right.
Me too. Go Sox.
Well, some layoffs over there. They're not able to keep up with the with the website.
The worldwide
it's
leader.
All AI, remember.
Yes, yes. It,
they A1, hired that
I prefer, if you could call it A1, I'd prefer that.
You're right. Sorry, Linda McMahon.
All right. Let's get to this.
And now.
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
I mean, that's the dumbest argument right, I've ever heard. What are we doing?
LB, what are you doing?
On WEEI.
What are we doing?
Okay, from time to time on this show, we ask a question about the point that we have reached as a society in the form of what are we doing? And some criticism, Curtis, being directed at the assistant general manager of the Cleveland Browns for the way she answered a question about how they evaluate quarterbacks. Am I correct about
that? Yeah, so the Browns have been in the news ever since they decided to draft Dylan Gabriel and then Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round, all with Joe Flacco on their roster. And yesterday, Catherine Hickman is the assistant general manager of the Cleveland Browns, had a press conference, and it sounded a little odd.
Yeah, it's actually a great question, Daryl. That's what makes our job fun and hard. I'd say I'd just go back to like the plan that we have in place for these guys when it comes to developing is acquiring as many valuable data points we can. Now we know these things take time. So what is that going to look like at the end of the year? I don't have a crystal ball to tell you, and I don't do well with hypotheticals. But I will say that every opportunity we will have to evaluate them, we will take. None of them is going to take, you know, a back seat in how we plan and program for them with the reps that we have. And then from there, we'll see what the spring brings and we'll evaluate all possibilities like we always do.
Yeah. So a lot of gobbledygook there about data
well, maybe,
points.
Was it her first press conference or something? Maybe she's not familiar with the way in which you do them. Or
yeah, this is
a lot of evaluating.
I don't understand what's so wrong.
Well,
maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah,
it sounds like a nerd GM.
Yeah,
which is kind of commonplace.
I think that's the issue that some have is that it's football and that we don't, you know, we don't need nerd GMs.
I mean, if you look across the NFL, there's nerd GMs all over the place. The GM for the Cleveland Browns has been in place now for, I want to say, 5 or 6 years at least. I think it's Andrew Berry is the Browns GM, and he has been very. Analytics forward, I would say, over his entire tenure.
But you can call it whatever you want, but it's just evaluation. It's not data points, and I don't have a crystal ball into the spring. And why would you? What data tells you to take Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders two picks apart in the same draft? None of it makes sense. Just try to the analytics departments use words as a means to make it seem like they think about things more, you know, extensively than people that don't.
No, they just want to seem smarter than everybody
else. Well, that's another way of putting it.
Yeah, that's all it is. That you want
Scheim loves the analytics, though.
I mean, they have a place. You have to do both. Like, that's the beauty of football, is when you can marry both the analytics with the in-game feel, then you have a lot of success.
Yeah, well, at least, it'd be...
And by the way, the Cleveland Browns have a more recent 11-win season than you do. So, it's not like they're the worst team in football forever.
Well, they have been, basically.
They've been bad,
life.
Yes.
So what is that?
But I think it was just 2 years ago they were in the playoffs with 11 wins and the Patriots had 4.
That they were.
What in the world?
That they were.
No, I feel like everybody's like picking on the Cleveland Browns here just because.
Most everybody is.
Yeah. Yeah. They have been a joke my whole life.
They have been a joke.
Not in the Super Bowl.
They have a lot of talent, though. I'll take Myles Garrett.
Yep.
Whoever drafted him knew exactly what the hell they were doing.
Great data points on the guy. Yeah, that's why.
Great data points on great that one. Points. I give you credit for that one.
Real good.
Their quarterback is Joe Flacco, who was old 6 years ago.
What do you think the data points were for Deshaun Watson and the sexual assault case?
It was the pressure points, really. More unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, you know, that's the problem sometimes.
What is Deshaun Watson doing these days?
He's engaged.
Working out.
Getting paid a lot of money.
Still with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He is working out, trying to make his way back, you know. But I think the thing is just when you think about trying to use the analytics and trying to be able to figure out the football feel of certain things, it's, you know, you start to see the analytics play more into the game, especially like, you know, when it's fourth down, fourth and one, we see how the analytics have played into that, you know, and it helps out like, you know, what things that guys do well or they don't do well. I think it's just when people come across as they try to sound too smart in the sport where it's like, all right, you're giving me a popsicle headache.
The Cleveland Browns have one playoff win since Bill Belichick was the head coach, 1994.
Yeah, it's been a while. But, still looking for that quarterback.
But they're also not like the only team that uses their GMs. Like, yeah.
But they said if they're not.
I think they're people are directing way too much hate in the direction of this assistant GM than is necessary.
Okay.
I would turn the what are we doing on the people who are asking what are we doing in terms of her.
Okay. Turnabout is fair play from your perspective.
The Uno reverse card, if you will. Right.
Ooh, I love a good Uno reverse.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, now Gray's got to have Unos for lunch.
If Cleveland's not
not a fan of Unos.
Really?
No, I don't like the deep dish. Yeah. Too much dough.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one.
You said that.
I prefer cheese and sauce.
Yeah.
I hope your starter kit wasn't listening.
I don't know. The personal size deep dishes are kind of nice.
Too much dough.
No. I don't mind Detroit style, but okay. Chicago style does nothing for me.
Overrated.
Yeah,
I haven't had Detroit style.
I don't think I've had Detroit style either.
Let's take a giant hunk of kneaded dough.
Yeah.
And pour a spoonful of sauce and a half of a slice of cheese on it. No thanks.
Yeah, Greg, I actually think it's too much sauce.
Is Detroit pizza Chicago style just with a bailout?
Yes. Oh, somebody wants me to take it back. I will never take that back.
That Chicago style,
that deep dish stinks.
I'm with you on that one.
Ugh.
Because most people, don't they eat it with like a fork and a knife?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't even pick it up.
That's awful.
And it takes forever to come out if you go to a restaurant.
That's awful.
No, I'm good.
Awful. All right, coming up, we've definitely lost Courtney for the day, and we may lose her for the week based on what Roger Goodell has half announced this morning. We'll get to that next.